Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've got a great show today. Later in the program, we're going to be looking at whether restaurants in Illinois are reopening too widely too soon. We'll consider whether a dust cloud that started in the Sahara could worsen COVID-19 in southern Illinois. And on a lighter note, we're going to talk to a travel writer about road trips in and around Illinois that are still relatively safe amid the pandemic. But first, let's talk politics. And not the usual subjects, but the actual mechanics of running for office at a time of pandemic. No less an American legend than Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier, but also U.S. Representative Davy Crockett, is said to have boasted that he kissed every baby in his district. Of course, Congressman Crockett was practicing politics a few decades before widespread understanding of the germ theory of disease. In 2020, kissing babies is out. So is shaking hands. And if you're following the rules in Illinois, so is holding events for more than 50 people. These measures, aimed at preventing the spread of coronavirus disease, cut right into some of the most tried and true ways candidates for office seek to connect with voters. But with just 125 days until the election, what are candidates doing instead? Joining us to talk about this is Jeannie Ives. She's the Republican nominee for Illinois' 6th Congressional District, which is in the western and northwestern suburbs of Chicago. She's a former state representative from Wheaton and came within 3 percentage points of defeating then-incumbent Governor Bruce Rauner in the 2018 Republican primary for governor. Now she's hoping to turn back the blue tide that helped Democratic Representative Sean Casten win the seat 2 years ago. Jeannie Ives, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
Also joining us is a longtime observer and scholar of Illinois politics, Chris Mooney. He's got one of those fancy titles, the W. Russell Arrington Professor of State Politics at the University of Illinois, Chicago. Chris, welcome back to the 21st.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Brian.
So, Jeannie, I'd like to begin with you. It's been more than 3 months since you won the primary, and that night you skipped the usual party with supporters, delivered a message from your home. I wonder, what did campaigning look like for you in those early days of the pandemic?
Well, we understood from the get-go that a lot of your communication with voters is actually moving online. So from the beginning, we had a very robust digital campaign to begin with just to win the primary. And I'm very fortunate in that my governor's race generated a lot of enthusiasm, and those supporters have stayed on my Facebook page and Twitter and have come around me to support me in this race too. Now, while some of those are statewide, certainly we're hitting a large part of the 6th Congressional District as well. So we believe, you know, as Mike Garcia proved in California, that you can win and flip a seat using strictly digital online communications. That is not our preferred thing. We like all mediums of communication with our voters, but we did understand early on that having great content and connecting with the voters online was going to be important.
And I wonder, does the, you know, in different parts of the country, even in different parts of Illinois, the virus seems more real or less real to people based on the case counts. The suburban areas, there were quite a few outbreaks in your region, right? Did the virus threat seem real to you and to your constituents?
One of the first things we started to do was actually understand the impact of COVID-19 on a variety of people dealing with it in our district. So we started to do informative interviews with folks affected by it, from small business folks to people who run school support services for parents and how it was affecting them, to the executive director of the mental health NAMIA Mental Health Institute in our area. But we also did a Zoom interview, and we've done them repeatedly, with chief medical officer at Northwestern Medical here in the district. And those informative interviews were viewed thousands of times. And so we understood very quickly from his interviews, and of course, understanding what's going on, that this was a very real virus. That said, our area was very capable of handling it and dealing with it, and people did the proper thing. They sheltered in place for the first few weeks. They took mask wearing seriously. And so I think that we did flatten the curve. I think we did it sufficiently to allow our medical facilities to accommodate the virus. So for us, it has not been like outbreaks you have seen in Chicago. I will also say this, over 80% of the deaths that have come from COVID in this area have existed from, retirement homes, that type of a setting.
Sure. So Chris Mooney, we just heard there that the candidate was having sort of Zoom interviews with public officials as a radio host. I have taken note of how many public officials are now, you know, interviewing other public officials now, sort of honing in on my job. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've also heard reports of candidates calling voters, but not, you know, making a political pitch or asking for money, but just kind of seeing how they're doing, connecting them with a COVID hotline if they're having problems. Chris, why might a campaign take this approach at a time like this?
Well, it's I think Representative has expressed probably the smart way to go about this and the strategic way, you know, identifying the problem early, of identifying a range of options and then pursuing them. That's the smart way to do it. I think that this is, you know, such a completely unprecedented situation that's caught a group of people completely off guard who in some sense are really unprepared to deal with it. I mean, if you think about, you know, a campaign in general, political campaigns about, you know, basically finding out who is for you and then help targeting them and encouraging them to vote and giving them information and so forth. There's no reason in the world why that couldn't be done online. I mean, that's you send them emails and Zoom, as just as Representative Ives is talking about. The problem in some respects is that it's never been done this way before. And the people that are attracted to this business are the kind of people who love people. You know, it's a high contact business and it attracts people who love that. They want to knock on doors. They want to shake people's hands. They want to kiss a baby. That's their natural impulse. And so what we've got here is a situation that's really, you know, just way outside of their comfort zone and their wheelhouse. And I think it's causing a lot of consternation. This is particularly the case in the vast majority of races in this country, which are run at the state legislative race or below level. So local races, county board, you know, water reclamation. This is all about knocking on doors. It's all about going to PTA meetings. It's all about, you know, interacting individually, you know, about encouraging your supporters and getting them to do it. And so, yeah, everything is thrown into a tizzy. So what's needed are people like, you know, Representative Ives who can see through this and try to, you know, find the path forward. It's not always easy.
Yeah. And I'll remind listeners, if you're just joining us, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. That was Chris Mooney. He's a professor of state politics at the University of Illinois, Chicago. We're also speaking with Jeannie Ives, who's the Republican nominee for the 6th Congressional District, running against freshman Democratic Representative Sean Casten in the western and northwestern suburbs of Chicago. And Jeannie, I wonder if that resonates with you, this idea that, you know, are you a people person? Does this kind of go against your gut instinct? I certainly heard when I interviewed U.S. Senator Dick Durbin earlier this year, he said that this was like he was kind of jonesing to get out there and meet people again. That's my phrase. But, you know, does that resonate with you?
Well, pre-COVID-19, we were certainly meeting a lot more folks wherever we possibly could in their living rooms, small meet and greets. And I think they're highly effective because people can really see your authenticity and they can ask you anything they want to, unvarnished. You know, they get the question straight from you. We've been doing that same thing, though, over Zoom interviews. And we've been putting people together in their networks and having these conversations over Zoom. We've done it with coalitions of particular people. We've done it with in retirement homes already. And so I still think that they can hear the authenticity in your voice. We've also, we have started to drop literature at folks' doors too. We think it's important to show them that you are personally interested in earning their vote and their support. So while we're not knocking, we are dropping information at their doors just to start that conversation. So if things open up and people are comfortable, we can start to knock doors. I think that is important as well. Meet and greets in the backyard are going to be absolutely just fine, in my opinion. And so we've got some of those set up already. So I look forward to actually really meeting folks one-on-one, face-to-face. There's nothing better.
Yeah. And, you know, one fact of life, I think, for anyone who wants to compete in politics, especially in a district with hundreds of thousands of voters, is that you need money to, you know, buy advertising, you know, help pay for the literature you want to drop off at people's doors, get the word out about the campaign, be it for, you know, TV ads or Facebook, or like I said, pamphlets. Jeannie, I wonder, did the fundraising aspect of your campaign change on account of the pandemic?
We've met our fundraising goal every single quarter. And today is, of course, the last day for this quarter. And we expect to exceed over $500,000 raised amidst the pandemic. And I've heard from other congressional candidates, Republicans, that are raising far more of that. One of our members, one of our candidates challenging, has raised well over $1 million online. So the digital fundraising aspect has been good for a lot of campaigns as well. And donors understand that we can't get together for events, but they're willing to support the effort anyway by just simply writing a check.
Do you ever run into people who say, like, look, I just lost my job or something. How dare you ask, you know, or something like that? Or is that just sort of not the people you're targeting, I guess, in this circumstance?
No, not the people I'm targeting necessarily. Some folks have said, you know what, I'm going to have to hold off a little bit. I got to move some money around. But for the most part, your larger donors are able to still contribute to the cause in the same amount. Some folks have backed off, though. There have been situations where they have lost their income. Restaurant owners specifically, you know, have had a hard time in this economy.
Yeah. And Chris, I want to ask you to kind of pivot to talk about rallies and town halls and debates, you know, things where you actually get people together formally in a room to hear from candidates directly. I mean, do you think those are essential features of American democracy? Not to be too highfalutin about it.
Well, what's essential about it is the free flow of information and ideas. The medium that those ideas are flow, in which they flow, you know, that could be different. And it's changed over the course of American history, right? From quill and parchment to tweet, right? So, you know, they'll find a way to make this happen.
And Representative Ives, do you anticipate doing any sort of, you know, these town halls or debates, or do you think this is just going to be over Zoom, like so much of life has become these days?
Well, that would be a disservice to the voters who deserve to see how we interact one-on-one and answer questions directly in a forum with the media covering it. They deserve to know exactly how we stand. We're willing to debate him any place, at literally any time. We don't think that the media will give this campaign or any campaign a pass on not openly debating. And I think it can be done safely. Absolutely. 100% it can be done safely. So,
go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, there's no doubt it can be done safely you know, some kind of technology. I mean, do you think that there's some extra added value to having people in the room? I mean, I agree that there is.
Absolutely.
Central to the experience?
I think it is. I think you're going to get better viewership. I think you'll get better interaction. I think that there's a lot to be said about reading body language. And I think that that comes out in demeanor, and everything else comes out in a debate.
When you are out there campaigning, are you following guidelines from the CDC and the Illinois Department of Public Health about, you know, wearing masks, keeping 6 feet of distance from people, that sort of thing?
I generally do. I guess the exception would be if I'm outside in fresh air. I don't really feel that the threat is prevalent there. Certainly, if I'm inside, I am following those guidelines on masking appropriately in public arenas, in people's stores, or something like that, where that's the requirement. Yes.
Okay. And Chris, I think last question to you. I wonder, what in Illinois politics are you going to be watching for as we get closer to Election Day, particularly in light of the pandemic?
I mentioned how the campaigns are responding to this change in environment. It's you know, the whole economy, the social world, everybody's trying to figure this out, right? And campaigns are no different. So it's interesting to see how this is developing, and in particular in Illinois, when every voter in the last three elections is going to get a vote by mail application in the mail. I think this is going to be a huge part of campaigns' strategies, trying to get people, get their support, figure out who their supporters are, get them to send in those applications, and then get them to send in those vote by mail ballots in the fall.
And Jeannie Ives, just in about 30 seconds left here, I wonder, how do you think, or do you think, the pandemic could affect your chances for trying to win this seat back for Republicans?
Well, I don't know that it's just the pandemic. I think it's everything going on at the national level and the conversations that are being had. And so the voters are going to have to come down and just really decide how do they feel about the lawlessness that has been, you know, going not only in the 6th congressional district, but really around the nation. How do they feel about that? Who do they think really can protect their job in the future? And who is going to hold China accountable? I think that is a big question. And I think the pandemic feeds right into that conversation, because China is a threat, both militarily, economically, and so people are going to have to make decisions based on that. I think the pandemic brought a lot of this out.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we will be talking more about the 6th Congressional District race and many other races across Illinois as we get closer to Election Day. Jeannie Ives is the Republican nominee for that seat. We also have been speaking with Chris Mooney, the W. Russell Arrington Professor of State Politics at the University of Illinois, Chicago. Jeannie Ives, Chris Mooney, thanks so much for speaking with me today on the 21st.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.